Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 97. It is finally spooky season, October 1st. Got Kevin here, I got Yanis with me. How you doing, bro?
Good, good. I don't think I've heard of spooky season. That's news to me.
What? All right, this man lives in a cave.
Okay, it's not true. I've heard about it, but I don't know what it means.
October spooky season because Halloween.
Okay, got you.
It's scary season. You know, everybody watches horror movies. It's scary times, man.
And candy.
But you know what's actually really scary, though? Manchester United, because we suck.
you're the scary one. I'm chilling on that one.
Yeah, you're chilling. You're chilling. Oh, boy. I don't even know what... we're going to talk about it. All right. We're going to talk about some Prem. We're going to talk about some Bundesliga. MLS, maybe some coaching stuff. Champions League will be interesting this week. But let's get right into it. City, first L of the season. How do we feel about that? Because I know they're missing a couple players, but you know City got two starting 11, so we never doubt them. But this was surprising. This was surprising, especially after the comments Pep made. Give me your thoughts.
Well, it's actually City's second loss in this week because they lost to Newcastle.
And first loss in the Prem.
Yeah, first loss in the Prem. I mean, Rodri is the missing piece. He got the red against Forest. And ever since he's out, ever since he's been out, they haven't won a game. I don't think we talk about City's depth as if it's one of the best in Europe, and I think that it is. It seems like now it's being challenged pretty heavily. Calvin Phillips, like, I don't think Pep trusts him just because he didn't play him against Wolverhampton. He played him against Newcastle, but I mean, they didn't win that, so
yeah, he didn't play well.
He didn't play that well, so. Doesn't seem like they have a number six that can replace what Rodri does. I mean, who really does? Because he's so valuable to City. He's one of their best players, one of the most consistent players, and he's also the most reliable. So him being out like this, I think for the first time in his career, he's got a red card. Definitely shows City does have a weakness after all.
Yeah. What do you think? It was about Wolves that really put City to the test, because they were dominating, right? But they didn't really have many expected goals, but they had like all the possession, obviously, as you would expect in a matchup like that. But you know, Wolves haven't been the strongest side this season, but the fact that they were able to take down City, I mean, this is why we say the Prem is the best league in the world, because stuff like this can happen. Exactly.
I just thought Pedro Neto had a game. Pedro Neto obviously had a lot of injury issues.
He's been Wolves' best player this season.
Yeah, he's definitely been their best player this season. And also, I mean, I don't know if you heard about the comments that Pep said about the Korean guy, a.k.a. Hwang Hee-chan, who ironically had to get the goal.
Yeah. Is that how you say it, Hwang Hee-chan?
Hwang Hee-chan, yeah.
Hee-chan is his first name, though, no?
Hwang is his first name, I believe. I have to check the Korean way. I think the Korean was a bit different. But no, for him to score the winning goal after the Pep comment is kind of ironic. But overall, I thought Wolves just had a good game plan in terms of, everything had to go through Pedro Neto, essentially. He was the danger man. He was the trigger for every attack, basically. And I don't think City was able to handle him, but also not able to handle the whole team, especially after them getting their first goal. They were motivated to get that double, the 3 points, especially because they need those. Wolves weren't having such a great season so far, so. And also, Pep wasn't really on the bench. I realized that he was in the stands. I don't know if he got suspended or whatnot, but he was on the bench for some reason.
I think he might have.
I don't remember him getting a card against Forest, but that was odd.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about City. Obviously, I mean, they will change. They will be better next time around, but it's kind of it's showing their weakness a little bit without Rodri in that midfield, especially. And I think they definitely miss not having Gundogan anymore. But Rodri, I feel like, you know, everybody kind of feels like he's a offensive player, more like super just, you know, classic CDM, but he gets involved in the attacking play a lot, and he gets some goals and stuff, and I feel like they're just missing that presence there, especially KDB obviously missing him too. I mean, we kind of take it for granted that he's not always there, kind of thing, because he's injured a lot. But we kind of forget how elite this team is when KDB is there feeding Haaland, especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's way more attacking than Busquets.
Yeah. On Rodri, to me, he seems like he's a modern-day Sergio Busquets, except that the only difference with him and Busquets, he's way more attacking. That's the only difference, yeah. Him missing, I don't think he's on. Well, actually, now that I mention it, Arsenal plays City on October 8th. He's not there. That might be a big miss for them on that day. Yeah, because I mean, October 8th is next week. We could use. We are in the form of our lives right now. We haven't lost. Although I mean, the Spurs games happened. It wasn't pretty, but we haven't lost still. We smacked Bournemouth yesterday. I think Arsenal on a good path right now. They're on a good path.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about Arsenal, right? I mean, I wanna talk about Saka, because there was doubts of him coming into this game and being healthy and playing. He ends up traveling with the team. He ends up playing, which was good news. But it looked like he left injured again. He kind of like looked like he was limping when he was leaving the field. And I mean, you guys got what, two penalties? And Odegaard took the first one, and three penalties, no? Was it three penalties?
No, two.
Because Odegaard took the first one, and then Havertz took the second one, which was, I mean, Saka giving it to Havertz, I think, was really nice, because he's been struggling, hasn't scored a goal yet, but getting him on the score sheet there, guy Saka. But I was the whole time I was thinking, like, if he misses this, he might not ever play a game again for Arsenal. I don't know.
No. I mean, it would have, I don't think it would have been that bad, but to be fair to Havertz, I think he's been having some positive moments over the last few games. I remember the Brentford game. I thought he was pretty good. This game he did okay. I think he might have been he might be getting a bit of a harsher treatment than expected, just because of, I guess, the price tag. Because, I mean, ever since he's been in the Prem, Havertz wasn't really, like, a top, like, he's not the goal scorer, right? He's a playmaker. He's a number 8.5 in the two-pivot system, if not a number 10. I think he's been doing his job so far. I don't know, but perhaps you could say that he's not as productive as Odegaard, which is, like, okay, fair enough. But I still think that so far, I mean, he hasn't started very, very brightly, fair enough, but I think for the last few games, he's been doing decent enough that the heat that he's getting from the fans, it seems a bit harsh to me.
I mean, I agree, but also, like, when a player that was brought in to be an impact player like that, like, we see at United all the time, like, you know, with Sancho and Anthony and other players we've brought in over the years, the fans lose patience very quickly, especially when the results aren't, like, not that he's not scoring, but he's had bad performances, and I feel like that's what the fans won't tolerate. But I guess you just got to be patient. I mean, we've seen it with Arteta over the last couple of years. You know, like, he's got a system. He picks the players that he needs for his system, and I think you just got to believe that Havertz will work out. But I feel like he's just, like, stuck in that limbo of, you know, not really having his preferred position somewhere. And I feel like that's just struggle for him, maybe to, I don't know, be used in a certain way. We kind of have an idea of, like, where he would be. Like, where would you say Havertz's best position is? As a 10? On the wing?
Well, the 10 ideally. He's not a winger. He's not a winger. He's a 10 ideally.
But I feel like he also isn't, like, the most creative playmaker either.
I mean, he's not. I mean, when you put him next to Odegaard, yeah, fair. It's hard to be the most creative when Odegaard's playing next to you, because Odegaard is always going to be the most creative playmaker. To me, he's either a 10 or an 8 in a 2-8 system, a two pivot system with him and Odegaard. That's the ideal system for me, and that's where he's been having the most success. Yeah,
I don't see him being great defensively. I would say his best position is a 10, but he's not, like, great as a 10. then what do you do? You know, like, it just kind of feels like he's like a overall kind of jack of all trades, like not amazing at anything, but kind of like good at a lot of things.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, like, when you have masters of every other position, then you kind of like have nowhere to put him. And he doesn't excel at anything, and you kind of need, for the system to work, you need somebody that will excel at that position. So I feel like it's just kind of tough to put him in there. Maybe he's a good player to put on as a sub when, you know, others are tired and he can come in and give you some extra juice. But I'm not convinced that where he's being used is his best position. That's what's tough with players like this. I feel like he has like the build to be like a striker, but he's not a great finisher, so I don't know.
I mean, yeah, we know that with his time from Chelsea, like, striker might not be. I mean, he scored in the Champions League final, give him that, but the striker might not be the best position. I mean, even when he plays striker, he plays it more as a false nine, so it's another dilemma, I guess you could say. But I will say it is only. I mean, it's October now, so it is still early in his Arsenal career. So we still have to see what Arteta thinks or Arteta does with him. I am optimistic from what I saw so for the past few games. So I'm willing to be a bit more patient, I guess you could say. Plus we haven't lost. So I mean, if we were losing and Harris was playing bad, like, yeah, I can understand that. But we haven't lost a game, so. I guess we can give him some time.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. Talking about losing, though, United. I mean, listen, I don't want to rant for the next 30 minutes. Listen, we're having a very tough time with injuries and all the other off-the-field situations with a couple of our players. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I feel like not having our ideal 11 to kind of like gel and get more chemistry together and build that foundation, definitely feel like it's hurting us. We're always kind of trying to fill gaps. I mean, Martinez is still, he's going to be out long term, and that's just like devastating for us. Varane was back, which was nice. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Amrabat. He's team player, and I know Ten Hag loves him, so I'm excited that he's been getting some playing time, because I feel like Casemiro has been much better since Amrabat has come in these last couple games. But offensively, our issue is the final third. Like, I feel like we have creative opportunities, but we're not taking the shot. We're not taking the chances, and we're getting too fancy with it sometimes, it feels like. We just don't know how to go about it in that final third, and we need to figure it out, because we're not scoring goals, and we're not going to win if we don't score goals. So it's tough. Rashford hasn't been impressive either.
Martial? What about Martial?
I don't rate Martial anymore. I feel like he's too slow on the ball, and he's not creative enough. He always takes the easy option. I feel like he can make something happen if given the opportunity, but I think Højlund has been much better, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Højlund. I think the development is there, and his hold-up play is great, his intensity. You can see it on the field at all times, and I know that the other players noticed that and have mentioned it. But it's tough. I feel like Rashford on the left has been nice, and he's creating some chances, but he's not. Sometimes he needs to pass, and he's taking the shot. Sometimes he's not taking the shot when the shot is there. I don't know. It just feels like there's always one extra move. Yep. And I feel like that happens when you're overthinking and you're in a slump, and you know things are not going your way. Like, the goals were coming easily for him last year. It felt like every shot he took was a dangerous one. Now I feel like he's always kind of overthinking. Like, you know, I really need to make this happen, so. He takes an extra touch, you know, and that's never a good move.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that the injury crisis that you guys have does play a part into this. Not having a consistent center-back partnership doesn't help. Bruno's still there. Bruno's your playmaker. But you can't really rely on Bruno for everything. Although, I mean, he is a captain, and he is your best player.
But everybody around him is, like, falling apart.
The guy needs some help. Højlund, I think Højlund has shown a lot of promises. I like what I've seen from Mejri as well, coming off the bench. Or even
he had a wonder goal a couple games ago.
Yeah, the Brighton game. I like what I saw from him. Pelistri is still raw to me. I don't know. I mean, winger obviously is his best position, but He's had some flashes. I think he just needs more playing time, and that will come with time.
I was just about to say that.
And then Garnacho's Garnacho. He's gonna get you something. He just needs to be. I mean, I think he has the same issue as Rashford. Is like, I guess decision making the final third, and also just being more productive. And I think it's hard because you can't really start him over Rashford right now, just because Rashford is obviously your best forward. But I would like to see what could happen if you were to maybe start them. I mean, if you start them both, then you have to take out Haaland, which you don't really want to do that as well.
What about moving Rashford to the right and playing Garnacho on the left? Do you think that would be something that we could make work? Because Rashford, we know Rashford's best player is on the left, but...
Yeah, it's impossible. I don't think... The thing is, who would you put on the right?
So I just said Rashford.
Oh, Rashford on the right? I mean...
Yeah, Rashford on the right, Garnacho on the left.
I don't recall having him play on the right ever for United, as far as I know. Even for England.
No, because he loves to cut inside.
Yeah, but that, you could say the same thing about Garnacho. You think maybe Garnacho on the right, but...
That's what I'm saying. I feel like Rashford has the experience to be able to make the right work more than Garnacho has, obviously. And I feel like both of them on the field will be dangerous. Because Garnacho right now, he comes on as a super sub. And usually he is very creative and he creates chances. Like, you see, as soon as he's on the pitch, he makes stuff happen. So I really like that about him. But like you said, like, I feel like he needs to be on the pitch more. We have more opportunities to create. But it's tough because we have a lot of young players fighting for the same positions.
Yeah. One thing for sure, you guys are definitely spending in January.
I think we have to. Center back.
Center back. Wingers. You need wingers.
Center back. And it's tough because we're supposed to have so many center backs. We're supposed to have so many wingers too, you know, Sancho, Anthony, Pellistri, Garnacho, and like...
Can we take a minute to talk about Sancho, I guess, because I don't see... Now I think he's been excluded from the squad, how to say it?
They said he has to apologize and he'll be welcomed back with open arms. And he doesn't want to apologize. So that's just attitude problem to me, if anything, so...
It seems like online, there seems to be a divide between like Team Ten Hag versus Team Sancho.
Really? I see a lot more Team Ten Hag on this one. I don't really see many people supporting Sancho on this.
I've seen it a little. It's not the majority. I will say, I mean, it's hard for me to support Sancho on this one, even though I like the player, because to me, he hasn't shown much in his whole United time. So for instance, since he's been at United for, I don't know, 2 years now, he hasn't been the most convincing. There's not a performance where I can tell that, yo, he was the best player at that game. I can't recall a performance like that.
No. And the issues that we're talking about are issues that have come up back in the day at Dortmund as well. So that's why it's kind of like things aren't changing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some consistent, I guess, reports on that. And I guess the difference is because Dortmund was winning, they didn't really, I guess, address it. But if they were, now that United is losing and there's an issue with him, and I mean, United is a different scale. They're not going to let that slide, I guess you could say.
And the expectations are much higher.
Realistically speaking, if we get to January, I mean, I hope he eventually does apologize, because I do feel like Sancho...
I want to see him play for us and I want to see him succeed.
I want to see him play. Yeah, I want to see him succeed and play. I just think that it's going to be hard to do right now at United, especially knowing the relation that he has with Ten Hag now. So I wouldn't be surprised, like I told you last week, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets loaned, because he's not going to get transferred permanently, but it'll be a loan most likely somewhere else in January. I don't know where. I know I said Brentford, because I always say Brentford, but... I wonder where he would go, because I don't think
it would be the Prem. I don't know. I feel like if we get him out of the club, it won't be in the Prem, because I don't think we want to play against him or have him succeed in the Prem against us.
Yeah. So my guess is it'll be either Germany or... I know Barca said they were interested, which I'm like, that's a bit odd. But I guess Barca do need wingers. I could see it too. Barca could require another winger, because they keep playing Lamine Yamal, even though he's freaking good. he's only 16, so you kind of need the depth to back him up there. But yeah, I guess it's a different story for a different day for on Sancho. Spurs, did you watch the Spurs Liverpool game?
I saw the highlights. I saw the really bad VAR call as well. And as a United fan, I'm not a big Liverpool guy, but that's rough and that's bad and it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed because it's either corruption or incompetence, and both are bad and need to be addressed. And not a little apology. Oh yeah, we made a mistake. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the apology was wild. Like that, they cost them a game. Basically, they cost them a game.
They went to review it and they still got the call wrong, and we could all see it on the naked eye at the time it was happening. So that's just, there's some things not adding up. Something's not adding up.
There's the communication between the VR and the assistant is. Something is off there. Something was off. Something was definitely off. Because you can't review that and tell me that you don't see that how he's not. Like, even on the... There's no way to explain it. There's actually no way to explain it.
There's no way to explain it. There's no way to explain it. It's like when you look at the play happen, you're like, oh, he's onside. Then you, like, analyze the play with VAR in slow motion with pause time stopping. And a paid... professional FIFA referee is looking at this and being like, now this is offside. Like, it's just, you cannot. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's baffling. Like, somebody needs to get fired. Somebody needs to get fired or on probation or something, you know? Like, if you're bad at your job, you get fired usually, you know?
Yeah, eventually. If you do too many mistakes. And the Jota, even the Jota red card was kind of questionable to me. Like, the only one that was convincing was the Curtis Jones, because, yeah, that was a bad tackle.
So many questionable things.
But outside of that, every other decision that he put, especially the ones on Liverpool's side, yeah, you could question.
Liverpool did look good, and Spurs did as well. I'm really liking the Spurs team.
I'm gonna ask you this question because obviously I had in my mind didn't put it in the doc. The biggest threat to City right now to me seems like it's between Arsenal, Spurs, and Liverpool. Is that fair to say?
I mean, that's the top four, yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think is the biggest one out of the three?
Right now I'd say Arsenal right now. Just because I feel like we've seen it last year where you guys can keep it up for a larger part of the season. Spurs, it's still new. So I'm not sure how much they can keep it up. And Son is kind of like changing his position a little bit. So I'm not sure. And I think they need to get more consistent play from like Richarlison and whatnot. And if Madison can stay healthy, then I'll be convinced. But I think overall just Arsenal from having done it last season and starting pretty strong this season as well. I'd back you guys to have more success long term than Spurs. But Spurs, I feel like their ceiling is higher because, you know, we don't know how high they can go, and we don't know the potential of these players right now because they did make a lot of moves. Like Son as a striker right now, I mean, we know he's a good finisher. And with Madison in now with the team to feed him the ball, and we know Kulusevski is good. Richarlison has been very disappointing, but, you know, if he starts turning it around. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Udogi on the left. I think he's been a really good bright spot for that defense. Overall, like, very impressive.
I would say, to me, Bissouma is one of my favorite Spurs players to watch. Next to Son, obviously, because Son's always been he's always been the guy to me. I would say they're I don't know if they're the biggest threat, but they're definitely they're coming. They're coming. You got to watch out for Spurs. You got to take them seriously. But I would say Liverpool seems like, honestly, for a team that was hanging on with 10 men for most of the game, and they look better, dare I say, even somewhat better than Spurs at times, they could do something. They could do something. I mean, yeah. Salah's been on fire. Nunes.
They're coming into their own right now. Salah has been on fire. They just need to get consistent scoring from one of those, like either Darwin or Gakpo or Diaz.
Charles Darwin.
Yeah, Darwin.
Oh, sorry. I heard Darwin. I didn't connect.
What? I did say Darwin because his name is Darwin Nunez.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. They need some consistency in goal scoring from either one of those three. Because they're going to get production in the midfield from Szoboszlai and McAllister. That's for sure.
They're still missing Trent.
They're still missing Trent. I forgot about that. They're still missing Trent. It doesn't feel like they're missing Trent, though.
He should come back in the next couple of weeks.
Because how good they've been playing. That's good. But yeah, I think Liverpool, I still want to say Arsenal is the biggest threat, but we've seen what happened last year against City where we got smacked overall.
And we know Liverpool can be the best team in the league when they're firing on all cylinders. So that is a scary thing.
Yeah. That's a scary thing. I think we just need to see more from Spurs to be more convinced. I think I really like what I've seen from Ange Postecoglou so far. I think Maddison has been one of the best signing of the season. Richarlison was having a tough time. He had an assist yesterday, so seems like it's coming back. He's coming back to his own. I guess it is only one game. We'll have to see. But I'm going to stick to Arsenal as the biggest threat still. Maybe a bit of bias on my end, but...
I'm really liking what I'm seeing from the rest of the Prem, though. There's a lot of strong teams. Like, once again, I know last year was a really big step up, I think, from a lot of teams, you know, making their mark and kind of being, like, top four challengers. But Villa looks strong. Brighton looks strong. Newcastle, they're starting to get better. Like, they dropped some games early on, but I feel like now they're strong. West Ham are playing impressively, you know? And we're not even talking about Chelsea, who are... They're not, like, playing bad, but they're not scoring goals. And they're back down at 15th right now. And United, you know, like, we haven't talked about United, but we have good players. We should be better than we are. Prem is strong.
Prem is strong. Villa gave Brighton a six-piece yesterday. Ollie Watkins, another hat-trick. Bro, I don't know how Ollie Watkins doesn't get a move soon. I'd be very surprised if he ends. He's underrated and it's ridiculous.
Last week, I succumbed to the pressure of FPL and I sold my Ollie Watkins for Julian Alvarez, who's been on fire. And Ollie Watkins just blows up like I knew he was going to.
I mean, to be fair, Alvarez did get a good free kick this week.
Yeah, and Ollie Watkins had 3 goals and an assist.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy Watkins right now. I'm gonna sell Haaland for Watkins.
No, you gotta sell somebody else for Watkins. Sell Isak. I don't know why you have Isak.
Yeah, I'm selling. Well, Isak did score too, did he not? He did score.
I think he did, but he's been injured as well, I think.
But you're right. I'm gonna have to sell Isak for Watkins. Oh, also, Luton Town won a game. Congrats.
Yeah, finally. Good for them.
Yeah, but it was, of course, had to be Everton.
Is Sheffield going down for sure?
Sheffield? Most likely, yes. Most likely.
How do you feel about Burnley? Because they're 19th right now.
I feel bad because I want Kompany to succeed, but like the results just aren't there.
I don't even know if he's doing like a bad job. Over the talent thing.
That's the thing. He's not doing a bad job. Like, the team is playing okay. They just keep conceding goals in bad moments. I hope that he at least finishes the season. I doubt it, the way their things are going. Because obviously Burnley wants to stay in the Prem. But man, if he can turn this around, I think it would be great for the Prem. I think having Kompany as a coach in the Prem is great.
Mm-hmm. I think they'd keep him even if they're like fighting relegation. I think they'd trust him to fight his way back up next season again.
I'd be super. You rarely see a coach that starts badly, especially for a new promoted team, like a coach that starts badly and finishes the season somewhat in the same team. I'd be very surprised if he stays. I hope he does. But yeah, I mean the odds are against him right now. Also, bold prediction for Chelsea. They're winning tomorrow. Just saying. And Mudryk is scoring.
Oh, Mudryk is scoring. I think Sterling is scoring.
That would be good, too.
Let's touch on the Bundesliga.
There might be a race there. I don't want to be too optimistic, but we might have something.
I mean, Bayern are in third right now. I mean, the whole top four, top five is close. Leverkusen looks strong, man. They're not conceding many goals, and they're scoring a lot of goals. Biggest surprise though is Stuttgart. I think I don't know how they're in second right now. I don't know how they're having consistent performances like this. But I mean, listen, they're there. I don't expect them to keep it up, but for the moment, like, they're gonna be in that top five race.
I don't expect them to keep it up either, but for the beginning of the season, it's pretty good, especially considering the last year they were almost relegated. I want to talk about Leverkusen. They're so good. They're very, very good. This might be the year where I'm like, the Leverkusen finally wins something. You know, their nickname is Leverkusen because they never win. I was rooting for them for time. When they had Sun, Çalhanoğlu, and Belarabi, I thought they were the best team in the league. They couldn't get it done. But this year, I mean, Xabi Alonso has them boys going. I really like what I'm seeing from them. They're getting at least, I guess, what, 2 goals a game minimum. They're going to be Bayern's biggest threat to the title.
Victor Boniface. He's got 6 goals.
I remember he was playing against Leverkusen in the Europa League last year for this Belgian team called Union SG, I think. And he demolished Leverkusen literally by himself. They didn't win it, but he had, like, I think 2 goals in 2 games against them. And I think that's what convinced Leverkusen to sign him. And they worked because, I mean, he just clicks with them. The team, I don't see a weakness in the team right now. Like, Frimpong as a fullback is very good. I think City Academy product. Grimaldo probably should be somewhere in somewhat of a bigger team at left wing back. Florian Wirtz is still a German wonder kid. Tapsoba, solid defender. Like, they have Jonathan Tah, like a veteran. They have a solid team.
I feel like the Bundesliga really produces good quality strikers. The Bundesliga, I feel like, is known for that, no? I feel like because of the style of the Bundesliga and how offensive it is, and it's really like go, 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 that it really just like opens up the game for the strikers to get many goals. I mean, I think the Prem just has like a lot of good talent, so they'd probably just win it because of like buying power and everything. But I feel like if you're talking about like quality strikers that can score a goal, I feel like the Bundesliga produces so many. And then they just get moves elsewhere.
Yeah, I would argue Liga could be as good as the Bundesliga in terms of that. Because it's so defensive.
I mean, for me, I think the Serie A would probably be the weakest in terms of developing strikers. Yeah. There's always one or two that will be like really good. We're gonna talk about the Serie A right after because I want to talk to you about something that you didn't put in the document. Napoli.
Did you see the controversy with Osimhen?
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. Like, he's not playing for Napoli anymore.
I mean, he played 2 games after, so he's gonna play. It's just,
I think he wants a move. Like, he's
suing the club. He's suing the club.
Yeah, like, so that's what I'm saying. And he loves the Napoli fans. He made a recent post. Fabrizio retweeted it or reposted it.
I would be mad too if I was him. I think Napoli, first of all, has to fire whoever did this. Because this ain't it, son. This is not it. You gotta clear the air. Get rid of the person who did that. Apologize to your boy because he's the reason why you're the best team in Italy right now. And I mean, there's way more to do than just that. Just because overall, it takes more than just that to apologize or at least to make it right. But I don't see. I mean, he played 2 games after that, and he scored in 2 games. He scored yesterday again. So he's going to play. I don't know if he's going to stay, though, after this season. That's the question. Because those are the type of things that are going to come back on, like, contract negotiations. Because I think he still has 1 year left on his contract. Or two. And, I mean, clubs are going to be coming for him, obviously. They were coming this summer. De Laurentiis met.
For me, you know who I think he goes to? I feel like... No, he's not going to United. We just got Haaland. He's got like Barca written all over him, or or Chelsea.
Over Lewandowski?
I mean, they need somebody after. How old is Lewandowski going to be next year?
34, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know.
True. I mean, Chelsea is. It's written that it has to be. It has to be Chelsea. If Chelsea was good, then I wouldn't be hesitating. But the fact that they're trash right now, I don't even think he's considering it.
I mean, they already spent so much money. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe not. Madrid, I feel like, but they have...
Madrid is locking on Mbappe.
Well, they're using Vinicius at the top, but that's what I'm saying exactly. That's the Mbappe spot.
Arsenal.
Ooh, I can see that too. I mean, you don't believe in Gabriel Jesus?
It's not that I believe it. It's not that I don't believe in him. I just think that if we want to reach the next level, we need some sort of a more consistent striker. Just because I think, like, Gabriel Jesus is not necessarily like a nine to per se. Like, he could play anywhere on the front line. He's kind of like Trossard in that sense of, like, he can play anywhere on the front line and be dangerous, but not necessarily as a nine. We don't have a prototypical like number nine that you could say is like he's our striker, he's a nine, right? And Katia hasn't shown me enough. I'm not convinced.
No, he's had opportunities, he hasn't made it happen.
He's had opportunities. I don't think you can win with him as your leading striker.
No, you can't. And a team like Arsenal that's challenging for the Prem, like, you need somebody better.
Yeah, and that's why Jesus has been playing as a nine, like ahead of him. But if we want to reach another level, I think Osimhen has to be the move. If not, Osimhen, Tony, but like, I think Osimhen would be my first choice.
That'd be a great option. We gotta start touching on the other topics. We won't go too far into them, but I didn't want to mention, we talked about how Stuttgart is really impressive in the Bundesliga this season as a surprise. In La Liga, Girona, out of nowhere, they play. Yeah, they're second in the league. No, they're third in the league, sorry. But they play, like, I feel like such a defensive style. Like, they play a 4-5-1 with the five not super attacking. And their striker doesn't have many goals, but all of their midfielders score goals. So
they get goals from everywhere on the pitch.
Exactly. And I didn't even realize Daley Blind is on this team, but that's just, you know, it's funny to me.
I'm looking at the team now. Daley Blind on the team. Eric Garcia. Young El Herrera. He used to play for New York City FC. That's a baller as well. He has a Niga in goal. I don't know how they got here. But
I don't know how they got here. It might just be the matchups, because they did get smacked by Madrid recently. Yeah. But all the other teams they beat are kind of like near the bottom of the table, I guess. But still, pretty impressive start, yeah.
I mean, still, it's not, you don't expect that from Girona.
No, definitely not. All right, let's talk about Messi. Lay it on me. I know you've been in tune with the rumors.
Seems like he's out for the rest of the season. Apparently, for going through the rumors, he hasn't played in the last three games. They're saying that would be devastating. I mean, that would end Miami season. Man, ticket prices are gonna just go down from here on out, because nobody wants, everybody comes to see Messi. Even though he shows up to games, but he's not playing, obviously. I don't know if it's true. They're saying that it's not true. Like, he's feeling better and better, so we might be seeing him again. But there's no chance of Miami reaching the playoff, or at least trying to make the playoff without him. Like, I don't think they're gonna make it with him, just because of the gap is too big. And, I mean, the results just haven't gone their way in the MLS specifically. But without him, it's impossible. Everybody else is just too good.
The dream is gonna die pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. They got a trophy out of this. They got a trophy out of that, and then every time he scores, it's a party basically everywhere in Miami. And the Messi move, I think so far it has worked. But I mean, if he can't give you he can't put you in the MLS playoff, which he probably wouldn't be able to do it regardless. And I feel like it's fine to rest him for the rest of the season and at least maybe focus on next season. Because you don't have that many games left anyways. And it's going to be hard to mathematically, like...
I feel like Messi isn't going to be out for this season. But I feel like they're not going to rush him back. Like, he's on his own timeline. He'll come back when he wants to come back and when he feels like he can. Do we know what exactly the injury was?
I don't know what it was. I believe it was... I want to speculate knee, but I haven't read too much on it yet. So I'm not exactly sure. But if he... I mean... I hope it's not serious.
I hope it's not serious. At this point in his career, like especially like if the injury is anything like kind of bad, like it can be the end.
It could be hamstrings as well. Which if it's hamstring, it's not the worst because you can recover from that. But knees are kind of, it takes a longer recovery time, obviously.
Yeah, but I really hope he's not out because the MLS has been so fun and to see the game grow like that, this year, in America. It's been really, really fun.
And the ticket sales.
And the ticket sales and everything.
Gattuso and Marseille's coach. Did you see that?
To me, it's kind of not irrelevant, but I'm just like... I mean, he didn't succeed at Milan, and we saw how successful they were after him. So I don't really know what to think. I think he's just a guy.
I don't know what to think either, but obviously that's my team, so I'm kind of looking forward to what happens. According to what I'm hearing, or to what I'm reading online, it seems like they like him already, so it's a good sign.
I mean, because he's a legend of the game, and he's going to command respect from his players, but at a certain point, I feel like the players know when the manager doesn't know what he's doing, and if he doesn't know what he's doing, like he's going to get called out, and the performances are not going to be there, so...
Yeah, I mean, apparently his style is also very, I guess you could say, hands-on. So, and it seems like people kind of appreciate that more. But yeah, we'll have to see. I'll have to see more to judge him first, because I can't judge him before seeing what happened on the pitch. Champions League?
I think Madrid will take this easily.
Nah, I'm saying Napoli wins that.
Really?
Not convincingly, it's going to be a close game, but I'm saying a 2-1 Napoli.
Ooh. I am not going 2-1 Napoli. I would say, I mean, it is in Italy, so that is something to keep in mind. But I think I would say like 2-1 Madrid.
Remember, Kvaratskhelia is back in form right now. He's had two good games. He's scoring goals. He's assisting again. So he's back to his old... I don't want to say he's back to his old self, but he's looking good. And Osimhen's Osimhen.
But what... Okay, let me tell you this, okay? The last two times Madrid have played Napoli, Madrid have won.
Yeah, but that was the last two times. This time might be a little different.
Napoli haven't been losing either. Like, I think they're five wins in a row. So it's going to be a good game to watch.
Yeah. I won't be able to watch it because I'm working, but it'll be a good game for the neutrals. I genuinely think Napoli has a chance of winning this. I think they would actually win both games. Even if the game wasn't Madrid, I would still say Napoli would win it. I don't know why. I just...
What about Dortmund and Milan?
I want to say Milan. I'm just not convinced. I mean, Dortmund has not convinced me. They've won games, don't get me wrong, but...
I think it'll be a draw. 1-1.
I mean, if Leao does what he did last game, yeah, it's gonna be a draw. You see you see the miss that he had?
Yeah, he shouldn't do that again.
I mean, he did it, yeah, the next game he kind of, I guess, redeemed himself by not doing that. But I don't think Milan is gonna give themselves another draw, especially against Dortmund. By the way, side note, Serie A race is the biggest one this year. Can we agree on that?
More than the Bundesliga?
Yes.
I disagree. I think that top three is gonna different, like, pull away. Whereas in the Prem, like, top five, six is all close. Bundesliga.
But you're saying the Bundesliga is the closest race.
Leverkusen, Stuttgart, Bayern, Dortmund, Leipzig. They're all within 3 points. Inter is at the top with Milan at 18, and then fifth place is Atalanta at 12. And I think there's a significant difference in skill between those two teams.
Agreed. That's fair. I guess that's fair to put it that way. I would say don't sleep on Ligue 1 as well, but that still remains to be seen. I just need to see more from everybody else.
I mean, PSG are kind of not doing great right now, but I feel like they'll turn it around.
Yeah, you know they're going to turn it around at some point. Lastly, I wanted to talk about EAFC. Are you buying it? Are you interested? Are you buying the hype?
I don't got my console with me anymore. If it was on PC, I'd probably buy it. I miss playing FIFA. I haven't played it in a couple of years, actually. I miss... The last time I played was when I slapped you.
I was going to say, the last time I played, I got smacked by you.
Yeah, that was a while ago, too, so...
Yeah. I don't have a console. I don't have the PS5 myself, so I'm trying to get that first. I'm not getting this anytime soon, though. My friends, I do have some friends that have pre-ordered it, and they've been playing it for a while, so I'm going to play with them for sure. I am buying the hype, though. I do like the game.
I mean, it's just the next FIFA game. It's just the name of the franchise is changing, right?
I'm curious to see if there's any other changes from the other FIFAs, which obviously there's not. There's never been like a significant changes through FIFAs, but like this one, I wonder how different it is than the others.
Is it out yet?
Yeah, it's out. There was a launch. I think it launched a couple days ago, actually, because I saw a launch party for it on I believe it was last weekend, or I could be wrong on that. Launch.
If I can play it on PC, I will buy it.
Yeah, it launched yesterday. It launched on Friday, this September 29th. Can you play on PC, you said?
I'm going to look it up. If I can play it on PC, I'll get it.
Okay. Maybe I will too. I need to get good at PC first. I'm not good at PC games. I'm not good at any games, for being honest.
Oh my god, you can! Oh my god, I'm so excited. It's basically the same thing. It's pretty much FIFA, just different name. Oh my god, okay, you just hyped me up now. I'm going to buy it. I miss playing FIFA. I'm going to play Ultimate Team. I'm going to be so rusty. People are going to destroy me.
But it's going to be like me play against you.
I can beat you with my eyes closed.
No, chill out. See that? You're going too far. You're going too far.
All right, let's wrap it up. We've been rambling enough. Episode 97 in the books. I'm excited to talk about some Champions League next week. We have a couple good games that we're going to touch on. And the Prem too. I think it's going to be a big week in Prem. And we'll see how it goes. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. If you made it this far, really appreciate it. We're surprised, but we really appreciate it.
I like that. I love that line every time you say it.
Yeah. Drop us a follow on the socials, forward_pressing/pod. We're notified every time the episodes go live, and we'll see you fudging later.
Peace.